Today's date is October 2nd, 2024. Hello, and welcome to the podcast entitled Enough, the People's Perspective on the Current Political State of the United States of America. Volume 3 is entitled The Foundation. Now let's begin Volume 3 with the following proverb. Those who author the story control the narrative. Those who control the narrative control the facts. The who, what, when, where, why, and how of the story. Please note that the author who writes the story is as important as the story which is written, because all authors have an intent. An author's intent is the reason why he or she writes and shares information with others. Let us look at how and why human beings communicate. Humans primarily communicate through symbols, gestures, oral, and written language. Yet, the purpose of all forms of human communication are the same. Humans communicate for three reasons: to persuade, to inform, or to entertain. We know that when communicating to persuade, individuals try to change or influence others' points of view on a given topic or event. We know that when communicating to inform, individuals are trying to give information, quote, facts, unquote, about a topic or event. We know that when communicating to entertain, individuals are trying to influence others' emotions in regards to a topic or event. Believe it or not, all forms of human communication require a method of communicating, as well as a reason for communicating. All human communication is based on an individual's interactions with others. The environments that promote human interactions, which result in the exchange of information, are our homes, our places of work, our communities, our places of worship, our society, and the world at large. All forms of human communication, gestural, symbolic, oral, and written language, can be classified by the author's communicational intent. Please note that the author in this example is the person who shares information with others. All members of humanity are authors of their individual narratives when communicating with others across multiple settings throughout their daily routines. It is our responsibility as active participants in this democratic republic to actively listen to the information provided to us by news outlets, elected representatives, as well as candidates who are seeking public office. Here are questions that may help us focus our minds when actively listening to messages from our nation's leaders and those who seek public office. 1. What information are the individuals communicating to the masses? 2. Why are they communicating this information to the masses? 3. How does the shared information affect my family, members of my community, our nation as a whole, our globally interconnected economy, and even our nation's role on the world stage? As elected representatives and candidates who are seeking public office share their policies with the general public, we, as voters, must analyze the communicational intent are the officials attempting to communicate their ideas to persuade, to inform, or to entertain. As active participants in the democratic process of voting during election cycles within the United States of America, we, the people, must actively listen to our speakers and leaders' talking points. We must do our best to understand our leaders' explanations of key issues and policies that may address the concerns affecting our communities, our nation, and the world. As active listeners, we must focus on our leaders' talking points and always keep their communicational intent in mind. The communicational intent of those who hold or seek public office are extremely important. You are an individual. As an individual, you are one of one. Correct? I will say yes, that every individual is one of one. Statistically speaking, what do you call individuals who happen to come together because they share a geographic location, are of a similar age group, who have common interests, who share common habits, and who fall into a similar tax bracket? The answer to this question is a target audience. A target audience is defined as an identified group of people which are the focus of specific messages, specific services, or specific products by corporations. For example, action films are targeted towards young people between the ages of 18 to 25. In our fast-paced, technology-based, internet-driven, screen-worshipping society, we have come to rely heavily on algorithms. An algorithm is a set of instructions which are fed into a computer. The instructions direct the computer to perform specific calculations or problem-solving operations for a given task. Corporations collect data about us, what we listen to, what we watch, as well as what we consume. Corporations provide software engineers our collected data. Software engineers then use complex mathematical formulas to develop algorithms to interpret the data which has been collected and given to them. Once uploaded into the computer's CPU, the algorithm will instruct the computer to perform the task that it was designed for. Often, algorithms are designed to find commonalities amongst people within a given geographic location, generating a target audience. As stated earlier, a target audience is fed specific messaging on goods and services that corporations may offer. Here are a few criteria used by corporations to develop algorithms: age range, gender, geographic location, levels of education, and socioeconomic status, to name a few. The use of collected data and the development criteria to identify target audiences are infinite. So, when we search something on a search engine, click on a news feed, play our favorite songs from our paid streaming services, or any device connected to a network, rest assured that that event, that data, was captured somewhere and is in cyberspace. Data is used by whomever collects it for their personal reasons. Oftentimes, our data is used with and without our consent or knowledge by many types of organizations within the business sector, the private sector, and even within the government sector. Have you ever wondered why your smartphone's search engine seems to always give you news feeds, articles, and advertisements of things that interest you? You may think to yourself, wow, my cell phone and smartphone is really smart. She knows me well. The fact that your cell phone is so smart and knows you well is no coincidence. Remember that our preferences, our likes and dislikes, our data is somewhere in cyberspace. This data is accessible to just about anyone who knows how to access it. This gathered information is used to target us and others who have similar interests to our own as members of a target audience. You may be wondering, who else is gathering my data? Well, our data is gathered by a variety of special interest groups, organizations, corporations, institutions, and others, including elected officials on the campaign trail and those that seek public office. The reason why data is collected from all aspects of our daily lives is because it is raw information that can be analyzed and used by a multitude of organizations, special interest groups, corporations, politicians, and so on and so forth, for their personal reasons. For example, in the business world, data is used by corporations to develop products and messaging, quote, advertisements, unquote, in order to sell their goods and services to the masses. Corporations recognize that diverse communities exist within our nation. Corporations are profit-driven and will use their research to zero in on an identified target audience with tailored products and services that meets a population's needs while satisfying their wants. In the political world, data is used in the same way as in the corporate world to identify a target audience. Candidates and their campaign staff use data to identify, capture, and attempt to retain voters. Furthermore, in the world of politics, data is used by public officials to gauge public opinion on a variety of matters concerning the community they service. A community's data is useful to officials who are holding or seeking to hold public office because the data can assist officials in identifying the needs and concerns affecting the community they service or plan to service when elected into office. Data analysis will also reveal the public's opinion on the official holding public office or aspiring to hold public office, because popularity matters in politics. This is why corporations, special interest groups, political groups, candidates, and other entities hone their messaging into our smart devices via algorithms. We, as potential consumers, are the focal point of corporations because of our buying power. Our buying power equals profits to be earned by corporations. We, as registered potential voters, are the focal point of candidates running for public office during an election cycle because of our voting power. It is important to note that political campaigns on both sides of the aisles use and interpret captured data found in cyberspace to identify potential voters during an election cycle. Please realize that the media relies on the same data as campaign officials do in order to inform the public and make predictions about a given election. Methods used to collect data for election cycles are local, state, and national polls. In addition to polls and surveys, other forms of data resources such as voter registries, voting patterns of past as well as current election cycles are available to candidates and their campaign machine during an election cycle. Please recall that the root source of an algorithm's design is determined by the ongoing collection of data that is stored in cyberspace and the identified purpose of the individual, groups, or organizations who financed its development. For me, it is obvious that groups, organizations, corporations, the media, our domestic government institutions, as well as foreign adversaries have the ability to control what we see, what we hear, and to a degree, they can influence how we think and how we feel about a given subject or topic. Corporations, politicians, and the media use the abundant data found in cyberspace to systematically influence how we view ourselves, how we view members in our communities, and how we view the region that we live in. Furthermore, they can influence the way we view the world and even how we choose to interact within the world that we find ourselves in. Many say that the world of professional sports have been severely impacted by data collection and its infinite uses. Just look what it has done to baseball. Some fans will say flat out that the game of baseball as it is currently played is no longer fun to watch. Many fans have said that the game of baseball has become boring because of algorithms and data analysis. As you can see, data collection and data analysis in conjunction with algorithms are used in every aspect of our lives. Presently, we must conclude that algorithms have real-world applications and are being used in ways that we may not realize. We must keep in mind that in the political world, algorithms are used by candidates to identify voters by age, race, gender, geographic location, etc., in their hopes of winning your vote during an election cycle. Data in the political world is also used to study voter trends, to measure voter sentiments within past, present, or future elections. We now know that during election cycles, politicians and their supporters use data to tailor their messaging to prospective voters as they seek to hold public office. Here are other fundamental reasons why politicians use data analysis as well as algorithms during election cycles: to make robocalls, to predict voter participation, to forecast voter turnout, and to anticipate the outcome of their candidacy during an election cycle, future or current. Do you recall the above proverb Those who author the story control the narrative, and those who control the narrative control the facts of the story. When individuals who seek public office are running their campaigns, they control their individual narratives. The who, what, when, where, why, and how of their lives, their ideas, and their aspirations for holding public office. For example, an individual who is seeking public office may use bombastic phrasing to communicate with the public during a given election cycle. The blistering statements are edited to create sound bites, which are pumped into our smart devices along with news feeds. As consumers of news feeds, members of the public click on the news feeds because the sound bites resonate with them. The clicks on the news feeds become captured data, which is then inserted into an algorithm. As a result of an algorithm's design, our devices are inundated with information relating to the individual's candidacy during their campaign for public office. In addition to information on the candidate, our devices also receive additional information on people, organizations, corporations, events, and other websites that support the candidate's candidacy. In the above scenario, the candidate authors their narrative by using messaging that utilizes bombastic phrasing that floods and dominates the news cycle. As a result, the candidate's messaging is shared by algorithms to more and more members of the general public. The more egregious the sound bites are, the more news coverage the news cycles and outlets dedicate to the candidate, and the more news feeds we receive of the candidate on our devices. The news outlets devote more and more airtime to the candidate, not because what she or he is saying has substance or merit, but rather because of the shock value of their bombastic statements fueled by their unconventional conduct. The candidate's unconventional conduct, as well as their brash statements, produce some public interest. In this scenario, the algorithms are now working overtime and will continue to push unsolicited news feeds, articles, and other related materials of the candidate onto our smart devices. The constant bombardment of the candidate's messaging onto our devices leads like-minded individuals and others down a rabbit hole. As a result of the constant flood of information that is received about the candidate via algorithms, a portion of the general public starts to think that what this candidate is saying has merit. Our devices will continue receiving news feeds of the candidates whose unorthodox messaging has piqued public interest. Pause. This is why we, the people, must do our due diligence with information that is provided to us. As members of the Democratic Republic of the United States of America, we, the people, need to be proactive. We must seek out information that is not provided to us solely by algorithms. We must be flexible with the constant bombardment of information which we are exposed to on a daily basis. As active participants and guardians of democracy, we must be willing to seek and receive information from multiple sources with multiple perspectives. We must act as investigators, not of conspiracy theories, but rather of all our elected leaders, their records, and of their accomplishments while in office.
We must scrutinize our leaders, their conduct, their political stance on issues, their public policies, the effectiveness of their policies at the local, state, and at the national level, as well as on the international stage. As active participants in this democratic republic, we must be willing to advocate for the issues facing our communities. We must hold political leaders and their policies accountable for solving the challenges facing our nation. We must be active participants in the governance of the United States of America. Food for thought. Political audits on politicians and the effectiveness of their policy should be a thing. These audits should occur frequently, should be completed by a third-party organization, and must include members of the communities who voted the officials into office. I believe that elected public officials and representatives should receive a quarterly digital rating scale, quote, a report card, unquote, based on their conduct, their policies, and the effectiveness of their policies, which they outline during their political campaigns. I believe that if we, the people, have more of an active role in the supervision of our elected public officials instead of just the ballot box, conditions and issues in our communities would improve quickly or would be resolved in a prompt manner. We must do away with corporate influence in government. Corporations, their wallets, and their lobbyists should not dictate public policies. Currently, there is too much corporate influence and money in politics. For me, there is an obvious conflict of interest in upholding the current status quo of governance in our nation. For me, our government was formed by the people and for the people, all the people. Our society should not be at the mercy of corporate greed and the lining of our leaders' pockets. For me, our government should work to uplift all its people in all communities and not just rubber stamp the top 10% agenda. Holding our elected representatives accountable for their policies as well as their conduct while in public office, she or he is holding, should be done on an ongoing, interactive, consistent basis. I believe that a rating app for every member who holds public office should be developed. I believe that the constant and consistent data collection and analysis with regards to the effectiveness of the elected officials' policies would benefit everyone at the local, state, and national levels. The only requirement for the community to access the rating app would be a smart device connected to a network with the capability to download apps. The rating apps would be available every quarter for the year and for every campaign cycle moving forward. If there are software engineers willing to address the needs of the people by developing a progress monitoring app for leaders in public office, please feel free to reach out to me. I believe that a rating app for public officials would be a game changer for society as a whole. Once again, if this podcast has struck a chord with you and you would like to ask questions, respond to topics, or would like to offer support to this podcast, feel free to reach out to me. My email address is getitoffofyourchest@gmail.com. No spaces. My name is The Mediator, In closing, if this podcast is resonating with you, please share it with as many people as you can. Thank you.